The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. If it's all muffled, it's because we're doing this safely. We're wearing masks. It's very strange, but it's 2020. Michael Brace Girdle is joining me, the manager of Cherry Street Barbecue. Michael, thank you so much for your second time doing the pod.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's nice to be back.
So tell me, there's a lot I want to get into. Just dealing with restaurants, working in restaurants in the time of COVID. But for people who are maybe new to the pod, can you tell everyone what your last job was and then how you transitioned to what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I made the transition last year between September and October from Lunita, where I was the general manager there. And I've come on to Cherry Street, and I'm the general manager of Cherry Street Barbecue. And we have a secondary location called Elm Street Italian Deli. And I also, you know, do the background work for there. So.
Okay, hold on. Now I got to go off topic. I didn't know about that. What's the Elm Street one?
Yeah, so basically because of all the barbecue, because we do so much meat here, we have so much leftover stuff that, and Lawrence LaPianta, who's our pit master, his background's Italian. So he kind of wanted to bridge a couple of loves together, and we started doing deli sticks, and we found a location right beside Barbarians on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. And we just have a really cool little spot that's doing classic Italian sandwiches.
Cool. Now, hold on. I got another thing. What is explain a pit master?
Yeah, so what we do down here at Cherry is we cook off of live fire. So somebody has to come in every morning and sort of start the fire, get it to a temperature and a level that we smoke at. And that allows us to kind of cook. We cook all day. In non-COVID times, we were cooking 24 hours a day pretty much. Now we're a little over 12 hours, 14, 15, 16 hours. But yeah, his influence over this place is he fell in love with Central Texas style barbecue, in particular brisket. And he, you know, he changed his career path and came here and opened up a spot in the Portlands. And yeah.
Cool. So let's go back a little bit more your journey. What was the motivation? Because last time it was a little more quote unquote fine dining, Yorkville, yeah. And you were dealing with so much of the wine and all of that. And it's not that there isn't wine here. There is. And wine, there's plenty of wine that goes with barbecue, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is a very much a very different job now than what you had before.
Okay. Well, personally, my wife got pregnant and we had our son this year. So I thought it would be nice to be a little bit closer to home and have hours that were, you know, I could construct differently than in the fine dining restaurant scene where you know that you're going to be there over dinner. And professionally, what it was, I had an opportunity to come here and be able to expand on some of the background work that goes into being a general manager of a restaurant. And when I was at Lunita, David Minicucci's the owner there, and he has a great depth of understanding of how everything works. And so there was always going to be somewhat of a ceiling to my role. In comparison to here where, you know, it's a little bit more open-ended.
And so what is your day like? But I mean, it changes all the time. As we're recording this, it's the 23rd of November on Monday. So, you know what, let's flash forward to today, but I want to go back still a little bit. How tough has this been? Because now there is another lockdown, but it seems the lockdown is for mostly just restaurants and bars. And like, you guys did a great job of doing some converting to your outdoor space to deal with the realities of COVID from the summer and the fall. So how tough is this for you guys right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just this whole summer was tough. You know, we took it as we could because of the fact that, you know, you don't have much of a choice otherwise. But as soon as the shutdown happened at the end of March and going into April, we were ready to make the decision to kind of close our dining room earlier than the shutdown originally happened, because we could see what was happening around the globe. And financially, obviously, it's a huge impact, because we lost, we have a 100-seat patio out there.
Yep.
And at certain points, we were doing about 36 people on the patio. It's a different, whole different thing. We rely so much down here in the space that we are in on the big concert facility that's by us, by sports leagues and teams that come after they're done at their sports leagues or before their sports league. And really none of that kind of happened this year. But at the same time, we have found new ways to build on what we're doing. Catering, our pickup orders have been off the charts in comparison to years previous. And, you know, just building out the website to be even better for where we're at, QSR codes for menus, just, you know, little different things all the time, just trying to make us better.
How was that adjustment in March? Because it was funny. I remember coming here the first time in the summer, sitting on the patio, and just, it was funny seeing you from when I first met you. You know, you're defining different wines from Piemonte, and now it was, making sure that the sanitizers are filled and just all these different roles that everyone's had to embrace.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I mean, even discussing how I was going to come here and I had a different vision of, you know, building on my my career. And, you know, at certain points, specifically in April, you know, I'm on the counter. Basically, myself and my bar manager, we serve every single human being that came in here. The two of us, pretty much up until the end of May, one of us was touching every person's bag, closing every person's, you know, box of food. And so it was kind of back to basics in a lot of ways for me professionally. But in other ways, you know, it shows just how scrappy you can be in an environment that you don't really want to, you know, that nobody ever thought we'd be in. So
yeah. Is it tough straddling this line? I find this for me, because I'm very pro restaurant. I know lots of people in the industry. I know lots of people that are work. I know people that have gone bankrupt, restaurant in the Danforth, Relish.
Yeah.
Where I knew the owner, she had a tiny place.
Mm-hmm.
Then she expanded. Then COVID happened. Now she's bankrupt. And so I'm very pro restaurant, but of course we're doing this with masks on. I don't go out that much. I clean the hands. Like, I do everything I'm supposed to do. And it feels like they're straddling the line of trying to be pro restaurant without being anti safety. And I wonder, do you ever have that either with your friends or social media or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's a funny line to straddle, especially having like a newborn at home. Because I'm like you, you know, my life has kind of been about going out or being out, or, you know, and a lot of what I enjoy, obviously, with my lifestyle has been trying new things and finding new restaurants and drinking new wines and talking to people. And that's changed. But, you know, I do think that because we have to understand what the rules are, we're very like, in at least here myself, I'm very like, okay, well, you got to wear a mask. This is how we deal with this. Like, this is when I go out now, I'm, you know, respecting the place and the rules and everything. I try to support, I live down in the East End, so I try to support as much down there as I can. And
yeah. What were some of the worst stories? Did you have any bad stories of just people not wearing the mask, or the, like, you see the YouTube videos,
yes,
on the news, like the freak out customers?
Yeah. So we, when there was the anti-masker rallies were down in Cherry Beach.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So they,
I was up at my cottage. Wasn't someone like dressed with a, didn't someone have like a chainsaw?
Yeah,
or something?
So there was people who went against the anti-maskers with chainsaws. That's, I think, what happened. But they used to come here for dinner on Saturday night, and I believe their rally was on Sunday, or maybe it was Sunday night, and their rally went through the night or whatever it was. And so we got to see so many different people. But what we did here was we tried to create a circuit. So you'd come in our front door and you'd leave out our side door, and then you would exit. And it became super hard for people to understand, even though I made tons of signs and kind of pointed people in the right direction, because at different points we were very busy for takeout. And, you know, because the beach is so close, there's a lot of people just walking up. And yeah, I've heard a lot of funny things, though, over this time.
Did you see any crazy stuff here with the anti-mask rally?
No, not really. As I said, some of the things that my bar manager Fred and I and our other, we have a couple of different front of house staff on, so front of house being servers. We discussed, we miss talking to people. We miss random conversations and new relationships, like how you and I kind of got to know each other. And so we really embraced that, particularly in the summer when we were allowed to have people on the patio. So, I mean, the anti-maskers, the people that came here, they were just fun to talk to. They were just people who had something to say, and they had a story, and they weren't mean about it. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, my main point was not that I'm not going to say if you're anti-masker, then you're mean. It's more the person that rips off their mask and goes, how dare you make me wear this? This is an affront against my freedom, and then freaks out over, you know, as they're trying to get some side rips.
Well, you know what? As I said, the beach is so close. Sometimes I have problems getting people to wear shoes or shirts. I kind of put it funny on our sign out front that says, you know, no shoes, no shirts, no shoes, no service. So, and no masks, no masks, no service. So
it feels like that's from, the Sean Penn, the great 80s, Fast Time at Richmond. No shirt, no shoes, no service. I'm trying to remember from that scene. And your thought, how's the government been? Just with because I hear the frustrated stories about things are confusing. It's hard to get the money. The money's not coming. They say they're going to do something, but we need it now. And I say that on one end knowing that this is going to be hard for the government, as this is all unprecedented. So, you know, I say that on the front end, knowing that everything's going to be fast and as efficient as you want. But how has it been for you guys?
Yeah, I'm obviously everything you just said is 100% true in terms of, you know, getting subsidies or for, you know, because we did lose, you know, a huge chunk of our business specifically over the summer. The most negative thing I can say personally, because I don't really deal with the subsidies per se, is the just all the different rules and trying to get the general public to understand. Like, you know, you're allowed to have 10 people at a table, and then you're allowed to have 6 people, now 4 people, and that's fine. But because the general public doesn't understand, it kind of makes us look like we're the bad guys when we're trying to follow along. And we're trying to make it, you know, keep up with, even though we don't necessarily understand why it's 4, 6, or 10 or whatever it is. So,
yeah. How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now in Cherry Street? I'm rooting for this place. And as we're talking, I just realized I usually do an American Thanksgiving with one of my friends.
Yeah.
And with his family. And this year we can't do it.
Yeah.
And I was so bummed out. And I'm like, now I know what I'm going to do. I'm ordering.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna, we'll have a cherry. We have a Thanksgiving package that we'll have for Thursday.
Yeah, oh, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
When this is done, I want to put my order in. But, you know, I'm just wondering, how are you feeling about your place, about here? And obviously knowing that there's uncertainty, but, you know, what are your thoughts going forward?
Well, I'm optimistic. You know, I'm hoping that the toughest decisions that we've already had to make, I'm hoping that we don't have to lay any more people off after this. I mean, as we speak right now, there's still uncertainty with where we're going. And I hope that, you know, in the new year, that at some point we get back to some sort of regular place. Like, I'm scared that all the restaurants that I love are going to vanish.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been part of this very vibrant restaurant scene that's kept developing over the last, you know, 20 years. And how many restaurants are we going to lose now because of 1 year of something crazy happening? So, you know, I obviously care a lot about Cherry Street, and I'm going to keep fighting for Cherry Street to survive. But we've found ways, thankfully, because what barbecue is, we've been able to keep pushing. You know, we've been able to keep serving people.
It's a good takeout. I think it's easier than like if you're doing fine dining seafood.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit harder.
I think part of what you pay for when you go out for a fine dining meal or places that I've worked in the past is part of being there, part of the experience, part of being served, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I don't know if there's as much of a difference between us and a fine dining place if you're just talking about taking out something, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, let's talk. Actually, you know, let's talk a little bit about wine. I remember one of my podcasts, one of my guests was talking about how champagne can pair with barbecue.
Yeah. But,
you know, I know for you guys, it's a different wine program, and whatever it is now, it's not going to be what it's going to be a year from now.
Yeah.
But just general tenets.
Yeah.
Of wine pairing and barbecue.
Yeah.
How say you, Michael?
Yeah, so when I came in here, I came in a little bit guns a-blazing about wine because I wanted, you know, it was the thing that I came from, my background more than anything. I reached out to all the agents that I knew in the city and said, these are my parameters on what I'm trying to buy. And I found some fun red wines, some fun white wines, and I found an old classic that I could never serve at Lunita, or I never even thought would go over at Lunita, which is a can of sparkling wine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So from Scarpetta.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember trying it. I remember Bobby was in town and kind of showcasing all of his wines.
Bobby's from which?
Bobby Stuckey. So he does. He's from Colorado,
mm-hmm.
And his restaurant was a Friulano, like based on the cuisine of Friuli, which is the north east of Italy. His joke was always, if you fly to Venice, you could get to Friuli in the same amount of time as you would take to get to your hotel in Venice. So, he started, making wine in Italy, and he does a very interesting just can of sparkling wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly Chardonnay. And it's just, it worked perfect for what we had here, because obviously not a ton of people come in looking for wine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did want to be able to offer something. So it flipped in my head when I started here and I saw that it was being offered and I started running with it. And then it works perfectly with the pandemic, you know?
And what about, so on Thursday, there's still going to be some ribs. I don't know what you guys do, but some turkey. Like, there's going to be a little bit. I'm going to want to put something together.
Yeah.
But what if I was going to take even just for my own cellar? What reds would you recommend to go with?
I really like Pinot. Like, I like Pinot Noir to go with it, especially California style Pinot, where you have a little bit
bigger.
More, yeah, a little bit more plumpness.
Yep.
Obviously, Beaujolais would be phenomenal with it. But you can go really big if you want to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, some people like going rich with rich. I'm not a huge rich with rich person. Like I said, like I go Pinot, but I think you could go with like a big Shiraz,
mm-hmm.
or you could do a Malbec or something, because the food is bold enough to be able to still like hold up against that.
I do like though the Gamay,
yeah.
The Beaujolais style with just that acid,
yeah.
Just to cut through all the fat of the barbecue and Pinot. Actually, California Pinot is sort of the best of both worlds. You're you know, you're not going to have full rich on rich, no, like a Shiraz or a Malbec.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more full-bodied,
yeah,
getting something from Russian River Valley than, say, getting something from Burgundy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, I don't think you want to throw a Burgundian Pinot at...
No. No, I'll put the Chambu Moussini away.
Yeah, for, I mean, you know Thursday. What, if going back to my background of Italian wine, like, you could do Nero Mascalese, like, something from Etna would be fun to go with it as well, if we're talking Italian. I'm sure that there's a ton of different reds that would work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So what do you think... I mean, what are your guys... Actually, you know, I'll end with your vision, but we were talking a little bit before, and this next question is going to be hyper-local if you're from the Toronto area. If you're not, I apologize. But where we are in Cherry Street, forever it's been like just this vast wasteland. You know, you got used to the TNT supermarket,
yep,
but you just have a lot of open space. But this area, like Cherry Beach or this area... I was wondering if you could explain what some of the things that are happening around here.
Yeah, so right now there's major construction from the base of the Don Roadway right over to Cherry. And just south of us on the south side of Commissioner, they're going to put a huge park in. They're working on it right now. They're digging out an old oil refinery. So some of the construction guys have some pretty fun stories about what they find in the ground there.
Oh my God.
and they're going to take the Don River and they're going to pull it, instead of it just going into the Keating Channel, which is just south of Lakeshore, they're going to pull it and it's going to go all the way through this park. And it's going to essentially make where we are now located an island. What this park's also going to be able to do is stop flooding. So it's going to be able to take up a pretty large percentage of the Lake Ontario water if there was ever a massive flood, and save not only the Portland's area, but sort of the base of the city.
This could be wild. So you're going to be on an island.
Yeah.
And there's going to be parks everywhere, and yeah, probably more residential.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels like that's going to take at least a decade to do.
Oh, they say 5 years, but you know,
it's construction. So they say 5 years. So that's, 10 years.
Yeah. Ten years.
I'm going to, yeah, that's pretty wild. So where do you, your mixture of optimism and realism, we'll get a little bit of both.
Cause yeah,
fully optimistic, everything's gangbusters, but realism and optimism, where would you like to see Cherry Street Barbecue a year from now, and where would you like to see your drinks program a year from now?
Okay, well, I think what we would like to continue doing is just to keep expanding and to keep going. You know, we had our place in the Chef's Assembly Hall in the center of the city, and you know, we'd like other opportunities like that in different parts of the city, and we're seeing a lot of ghost kitchens and places where we could situate barbecue so we could get it to more people. So we would like to keep kind of moving in that direction, which I think works well with where we're status-wise of where we're at. And with the beverage program, you know, I've turned a lot of it over to my bar manager, Fred, and he's done a great job. What we've really tried to do is kind of on the same theme as a wine program, we've taken the beer program and we've really tried to make it about local and different styles and appeasing to that. With the wine program, I want to bring value. That's what I've always looked for in wine programs in general, is just trying to bring products that people can't easily find,
mm-hmm,
that work exceedingly well with the cuisine that I'm representing and be able to price it fairly for everybody. So
one last one, I just thought about this. If you were on some government board, what advice would you give them to help the restaurants of Southern Ontario deal with now this second lockdown and deal with whatever winter is going to bring? Just any advice or things you would say?
Well, I would say, instead of shutting us down, I would say, why don't we start employing people to go around and make sure that things are being done properly? And why don't we come up with ways that we can keep businesses flowing and working in a healthy environment rather than just shutting everything down? That's that's more, you know, and like, instead of paying people to stay home,
yeah,
like, why don't we pay people to do some work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's a very, that's a very logical way of looking at it. Hey, Michael, I really appreciate you taking time. I know how busy you are and just how everything is upside down. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
For the restaurants.
Yeah.
And yeah, I appreciate the time and wish you nothing but success and that things get better sooner rather than later.
Cool. I appreciate it. I really love doing these interviews, and it's a great podcast, so it's nice to be on it again.
I can't wait to interview you for a third time.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk more wine that time.
Yeah, there's always a time for that. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.